We'll start today with a thank you and a tak, grazie, dankeschön, merci, and arigato gozaimasu to all those Monocle and FT readers who took the time to write to me over the past 2 weeks to express how their weekends wouldn't be quite the same without my 836 words in the pink paper, and that their Saturdays and Sundays would be upended forevermore. I promise I don't exaggerate. Never. For a few days, I tried my best to stay on top of the emails and responded to readers in Dallas and Hong Kong, Ottawa and Stockholm, but there have been so many, and still they come, that I haven't been able to get back to everyone individually. As I have a couple of long-haul flights before settling down for Christmas, I will most definitely get back to everyone, but in the meantime, I thought it was more important to do this. Get back to the business of penning a column. So what have I been doing for the past 2 weeks? Rather a lot. There was my birthday. Thank you again to those who remembered, and no, it was not a birthday of particular significance. There were a lot of meetings with our architect in Zurich for our new HQ, more on that a little bit later, finishing the forecast, out next week, and organizing the launch of Monocle's Winter Weekly, our second foray into the newspaper business this year, with some significant journalistic production and logistical tweaks. As with the Summer Weekly, we'll be coming off-press every Tuesday, but this time it's Switzerland rather than Italy in charge of printing, and from there the paper will be dispatched direct to subscribers via Swiss Post subsidiary, so we're hoping for a timely delivery into letterboxes across Europe. For the rest of the world, the Winter Weekly should touch down in time for the weekend, and will also be sent to select newsstands around the world, hopefully in time for Saturdays in most markets. If you're reading this on fine newsprint this very moment, then I'm hoping the logistics have worked in everyone's favor. If you're reading this on screen but would like the full delights of a three-section paper, then bundle up and head to your favorite newsstand, or simply go to monocle.com/subscribe to get all the editions across December. Then again, it might just be easier to listen, as you're doing now. Just as complex as launching a newspaper was the seventh edition of the Monocle Christmas Market that took over Midori House last weekend. There were snorting, snuffling reindeer for photo ops, and the Swedish Lucia Choir did a mix of traditional and jazzy numbers to get visitors in the mood for the season. In between, the Swiss Embassy was on hand with emergency supplies of raclette and wines from Canton Vaud. The Czechs had some fine Bohemian crystal on display. Sudtirolers were offering up rugged felt backpacks, and regular Monocle contributor Nancy Durham was back with a refreshed lineup of lavender items for feet, hands, and tired temples. With door takings going to the Committee to Protect Journalists, the response from visitors was that our little market was not only the best slice of Middle European Christmas in the heart of London, clearly a very competitive field, but also a good example of bringing together entrepreneurial businesses to show off their finest wares in a format that should live across the year. "Could you do this every weekend?" asked a visitor from North London. "It's a very effective way of shopping when everything is so compact and focused." While we're not going into the business of launching mini malls just yet, it does serve as a small example of what consumers are looking for in a retail market that seems wholly consumed with the online threat and the death of traditional shops. It also reminds me of what happens when large corporate players start to plot out their own demise. Rewind 10 years ago, and I recall a meeting with the publisher of a weekly magazine that had predicted the end of print within 6 to 7 years and an industry-wide bear hug embrace of the tablet by both readers and advertisers. One chart that was shared revealed a crossover point circa 2014 that was going to see more people reading magazines on tablets than in print, and that this would be close to the point that his company was going to be turning off their presses and enjoying a lower-cost, logistics-light business. It will come as no surprise that this has not happened, and the magazine in question is still printing in plants around the world because readers didn't want to be pushed into a place that was uncomfortable and not in line with their reading habits. This is where retailers need to pay attention and not speed toward a world where they exit high streets and malls and only exist on screen. Just as many a media company thought it would be a bump for the bottom line by getting out of buying paper and cutting print contracts, many retail companies are making a similar mistake by thinking about how profitable they'll be by abandoning hundreds of shops and opening up logistics hubs in remote regions. In many parts of the world, this is the time of year when streets come alive and there's a wonderful buzz of commerce, community, and charity that can only happen when humanity is shuttling between shops, enjoying a warm drink in front of a chalet, and admiring the twinkling lights of a well-appointed city center. High marks this year for Zurich's Bahnhofstrasse. The Christmas spirit doesn't happen in a backlit world in quite the same way it does in an ancient town square or even a parade of newly renovated shops. Stores, bank branches, and even travel agencies all have a space and a role to play in city centers and suburban neighborhoods. They just need to be right-sized and reconfigured, make that perhaps more intimate, to be relevant to the modern consumer. For Monocle, this week in Toronto, I'm Tyler Brulé.